Let's go again to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Once more, let's ask for God's guidance and direction. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful shepherd that you have provided for us in the Lord Jesus, one who truly cares for us, does not see us simply as a way to enrich himself. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hear his voice, to understand it, to recognize it, and day by day to follow him as he leads us in and out. Guide us, we pray, as we study this passage in our Savior's name. Amen. Last time I closed by reviewing with you the Old Testament passages, Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34, that criticized Israel's shepherds, the kings, the priests, the prophets, and that pointed out that God was going to judge them, and he was going to raise up a true shepherd of the line of David to care for his people. Here the Lord, having confronted this man who was born blind, who was cast out by the Pharisees, cast out by the temple and the synagogue, here is a poor sheep whose shepherds have not cared well for him at all. And now the Lord is speaking to him, and as we saw from verse 40 of the previous chapter, some of the Pharisees associated themselves with Jesus. They were standing there listening to this conversation. Now the Lord unfolds to them a claim that he is the shepherd promised in Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34. To get their minds into the imagery of those chapters, the imagery of sheep and shepherds and taking care of sheep, he gives us here the picture of the sheepfold. He speaks in verse 1 of a sheepfold with a door. Now, a sheepfold is a very simple thing. It's a low wall, maybe about 4 feet high, and it forms a ring, and the ring might be the size of this room. If you walk through the fields of the Middle East, you'll often see such a wall built up against a stone cliff or a hillside, just so you don't have to complete the far side of the wall. You just make a little enclosure. It's about 4 feet high. Sometimes they'll put some brambles on top of it, natural barbed wire, and there'll be one opening in it. And this enclosure is where you can bring the sheep at night. It keeps the sheep from wandering away, and it makes it a little bit harder for anybody to get in and steal the sheep, for any wild animals to come in and bother the sheep. Typically, there is no fixed door like we have on rooms or houses in our culture. The shepherd sleeps across the doorway. He just blocks the doorway with his own body, and that way, if anybody comes in or if a sheep tries to walk out, he knows about it. And as the sheep come in and out through the door, he can count them because they can only go through one at a time. So he brings them in one at a time. He counts them. He checks them over for any burrs or ticks or anything, and they settle down for the night there in the sheepfold, and in the morning he calls them out, and out they go. So the Lord pictures here a sheepfold. And of course, based on the Old Testament pictures, his listeners would understand that the sheep in question here are the people, the Israelites. I think I mentioned to you that the notion of a ruler as a shepherd and his people as sheep is a very deeply ingrained one. And in fact, the Mesopotamian rulers used to call themselves the shepherds over the black-haired sheep. The black-headed sheep were the humans, because they all had dark hair. The Mediterranean peoples have dark hair. The regular sheep mostly had light-colored, mauve, whitish or eggshell-colored hair, tannish hair. The people were the black-haired sheep. So right away, we're thinking here about the people of Israel. They're in some fold or another. There's a doorway to this fold. But in verse 1, he says, whoever does not enter in by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. If somebody climbs into the fold over the wall, it's not hard to do. It's not that tall a wall. But why wouldn't you go through the door? Well, you wouldn't go through the door because somebody's guarding the door. Somebody's sleeping across it. And so if you go over the wall, it's to avoid being seen by the guardian. If you do that, you're a thief or a robber. A thief is someone who steals what belongs to another. The emphasis is, and he takes away their property. A robber or a brigand is somebody who robs, but he does it with force. So a thief breaks the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. A robber also breaks the sixth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The people that waylaid the man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho in Luke chapter 10 are called robbers, highwaymen, brigands. They add to their thievery the offense of force, violence. The Jewish leaders were thieves in that they tried to deflect people's allegiance away from the Lord, who was the true shepherd. Instead of encouraging them to respond to Jesus as the Messiah, they tried to steal the sheep away. And we know also that they were greedy of gain. They liked the offerings that the people gave because they put the offerings in their own pockets. They tried to enrich themselves at the expense of the people. So they were thieves. And what were they robbers? Well, they were robbers in that they were willing to kill the shepherd in order to steal the sheep. They were willing to kill the Lord Jesus. They've been plotting that since chapter 5. These two aspects of their behavior, that they steal and kill, are going to stand in contrast to the Lord later on in the chapter when we get down to verse 10, When the Lord says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. They steal, they kill. He gives life, he gives abundance. So he's contrasting himself with these thieves and robbers. Verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. If you have a legitimate interest in the sheep, you're not afraid to go in by the door. To him, the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, who is this porter? I've told you that usually the shepherd sleeps across the entry to the fold. That's fine if you're out there with your flock by yourself, but sometimes there might be several flocks. And a group of shepherds might not all want to spend the night there in the fold with their sheep. And so what they'll do is they'll hire one of the number or somebody else to watch the sheep, and they can go off and do whatever they want for the night. This is a big business comes to the sheep raising industry. It's economies of scale. Agglomeration, we would call it today. You see this by the fact that there is a porter here who has to let the shepherd in. So the porter knows who all the appropriate shepherds are, and when one shepherd or another comes, he says, yeah, you can come in, but no, you can't come in. You're not a real shepherd. His job is to keep out the false shepherds and to keep out the wild animals. I imagine he still sleeps across the doorway. The porter. He's going to guard the sheep the same way, but he's not himself a shepherd. In terms of the second half of the story, what is he called in the second half of the story down in verse 12? He's a hireling. He's not the person with immediate responsibility for the sheep. He's just been brought in to take care of this group of flocks for the night inside the enclosure. And in the morning, he lets the shepherds in. So in the morning, along comes a shepherd. And if he's recognized, the porter lets him in. The sheep hear his voice, that is, the shepherd's voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now you've got all these sheep in there, 2, 3, 4 flocks, they're all in the fold together. One of the shepherds comes in. How does he know which sheep are his? Does the porter say, okay, Simeon, let's see, this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours? It's like a valet car park at a hotel where the valet goes off and gets the sheep for you? No. The recognition of the sheep and the shepherd is not up to the porter. The porter doesn't introduce the shepherd to the sheep. All he does is let the shepherd in. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This has been observed by visitors to the Middle East. The shepherds, well, you think about it. You're a shepherd, and you're out here with these sheep all day long, out in the wilderness. What do you got? No one to talk to but the sheep. So you talk to the sheep, or you talk to yourself. If you were David, you sing songs. And the sheep hear your voice. They know your voice. They recognize your voice. You're there talking to them. You're calling them. He's given them little names. In fact, we're told here he calls them by name. Verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So he's got names for them. The sheep recognize his voice. Here's a passage from a writer by the name of George Adam Smith. He wrote a book called Historical Geography of the Holy Land at the end of the 19th century. And it's a good book to get a hold of if you can, because it antedates all the political things that have made such a turmoil over there. He was able to observe life in that part of the world at the end of the 19th century, before the Western powers were heavily involved and had stirred everything up. And he records this anecdote. He says, sometimes we enjoyed our noonday rest beside one of those Judean wells to which three or four shepherds come down with their flocks. The flocks mixed with each other, and we wondered how each shepherd would get his own again. And they do mix. And they hide in each other's shadow. We've seen this. That they all put their heads down in each other's shadow because they want to keep out of the sun. So the sheep all get together. You get them together, they mob together and they put their heads under each other's shade to keep out of the hot sun. So we wondered how each shepherd would get his own again. But after the watering and the playing were over, the shepherds one by one went up different sides of the valley. And each called out his peculiar call. And the sheep of each drew out of the crowd to their own shepherd. Each one would go up on a hillside and he'd call out, and his sheep would come over to him because they recognized his voice. And that's the picture to which the Lord is adverting here. So the shepherd comes, the porter lets him in, he begins speaking, his sheep gather around him. In fact, it's not just a call that he gives. He has a name for each one. In verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So here we have a fold in which there are several flocks. A fold that has been guarded not by the shepherd, but by a hireling, a porter. The shepherd comes to this fold, and we are told he leads out his own flock. He putteth forth his own sheep. I was intrigued by this picture. Multiple sheep within one fold, and the porter guarding the flock. Particularly because later in the chapter, the Lord is going to say in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he makes very clear in verses 12 and 13 that as he assembles this flock, there aren't going to be any hirelings. He's not going to hire a porter to guard them at night. He himself is going to be the door. The shepherd himself will sleep across the opening and protect the sheep. So he leads them out from the fold where the porter is. He's going to bring them into a fold where there's only one flock. It's their own private fold. And where he himself will guard the door. Seems to me the Lord intends us to see two different folds here. He intends us to see one from which he calls his sheep out. It's a mixed fold. And his own sheep follow him. And he's going to lead them into a fold from which, according to verse 9, they will go in and out and find pasture. They'll be able to go in and out frequently. The fold in verses 1 through 5, they leave it, and that's it. They never come back. But he's going to bring them to a fold where they can go in and out. Now remember the context. Without interruption, we are still in the story about the blind man. Nothing has broken that story. The blind man is still here. He's still in the audience. The Lord is still speaking to him, but he's now also speaking to some of the Jews, some of the Pharisees who had associated with Jesus. And he's saying, I've got to go to a fold that is watched over by a hireling porter. I'm going to call out my own sheep and I'm going to lead them out. And in the context, what does this remind us of? Well, there's this poor blind man in the synagogue, in the temple. He had to leave the temple to find the Lord. He had to come out of the synagogue. In fact, they cast him out of the synagogue. Now, with this in mind, let me take you back to Ezekiel 34. And verse 13, because Ezekiel also says that the Lord is going to lead his people out. He's going to lead his people out. Now, in Ezekiel 34, the false shepherds have scattered the people among all the different nations. And that happened during the Babylonian captivity. The Lord promises in verse 11, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, and I will bring them out from the people." And if you were reading that in the Greek Old Testament, in the Septuagint, that's the word the Lord uses when he says the shepherd leads out his sheep. What he's speaking here is of extracting his people from among a mixed multitude. There is a mixed group. In Ezekiel, it's all the Gentiles among whom they've been scattered. In John chapter 10, it's the mixture of people within the temple and within the synagogue. There were some there, like Anna, and like Simeon, and like Peter and John when they went up to worship in Acts chapter 3. There were some there in the temple and synagogue who did worship the Lord, who loved him, who were his sheep. There were others who were false sheep. And the Lord promises, "I will bring them out from the people." This is Ezekiel 34:13, "and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." So I believe that what's happening in verse 3, when he leads out his flock, is he is bringing them out of the mixture. And he is going to bring them in later to the true fold. Who are the porters then? What is the porter here? Well, it would probably be the Jewish temple hierarchy. It's probably the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. They're the ones who had the divinely appointed role of watching over God's people within the temple. But you say, "Oh, this porter opens to the true shepherd." Verse 3, "To him the porter openeth." They didn't open to him. They didn't recognize him. But we saw last week that they did recognize him. What did they say in John chapter 3, verse 2? Nicodemus, the teacher of the Jews, speaking in the plural on behalf of the Pharisees, he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." He acknowledged the Lord's legitimacy to enter into the sheepfold and deal with the sheep. Right there. I think that's when the porter opened the door. Once he got inside, they discovered that they had to become sheep. They couldn't continue being porters. They had to become sheep or they were going to be disowned. And they didn't like that. They weren't like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, as one of God's prophets, was in the role of a porter. And when the Lord came, he said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Go follow him. He's the one you ought to go with." He endorsed the Lord, encouraged people to follow him. He was a porter. He was a good porter. The Pharisees were porters. They recognized Jesus. They knew he was a prophet come from God, a teacher come from God. But they were unwilling to surrender their place as hirelings. And so, in verse 4, "He putteth forth his own sheep." I was surprised when I looked at this, the Greek word that lies behind this verb, putteth forth. It is a verb that also occurs in verses 34 and 35 of the previous chapter. The verb put forth in verse 4 also occurs in verses 34 and 35 of the previous chapter, but it's translated differently there. What is it in verses 34 and 35? Cast out. Now, this is a very forceful verb. It's almost always used with a sense of, you know, to take you to the door and toss you out. Here it says the shepherd casts his sheep out of the fold. Why would he do that? Well, this reinforces my sense that we're not talking here about the good fold of Ezekiel 34, verse 14. We're not talking about the fold that is destined to be their safe and secure home. We're talking about this mixed fold, the temple, the synagogue. You know, the Jew who says that when we save people, we're to make a distinction. Some were to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. I think the picture is here. The Lord comes in. He speaks. His sheep hear his voice. And he grabs them with urgency and says, come on, get out of here. This is not the place for you. He picks them up and almost tosses them through the door to get them out of this mixed fold, to remove them from this worldly and polluting environment. This is what happened to the blind man. And in the context, having just seen this word in 34 and 35, I think we have to associate what the Lord does here with what happened to the blind man back in 34 and 35. But who was it who cast out the blind man in 34 and 35? Or who was it that thought they were casting out the blind man?
The porters.
The porters thought they were casting out the blind man. They thought they were protecting the people of God from this heretical teaching and, of course, protecting their own interests as respected shepherds of the flock. But the Lord says, no, it's the true shepherd who's casting him out. You know, sometimes things happen in our lives that shut doors to us, that exclude us from avenues that we think we want to go in, and we're likely to blame somebody or other, somebody who didn't hire us for the job that we want, or who released us from a job that we had that we didn't want to lose. We didn't get into a school we wanted to get into. And we tend to blame people. And the Lord does use people to steer our lives in those directions. But there's a very important truth here, that if we are the sheep of the Good Shepherd, he is the one who directs where we go and where we don't go. And sometimes he wants to deliver us from an environment that would not be good for us. And he casts us out. Sometimes it takes a little bit of energy. Sometimes we're a little stubborn. Maybe the sheep, like the other sheep that they've been associating with here in the mixed fold, they're not that eager to leave. And the Lord has to give them a little push out the door. Come on, this is not the place for you. And he does that and gives them a little boost. It is his loving care. He's graciously delivering them from the error and deception that characterizes the mixed fold. But having put them out the door, perhaps with a bit of force, verse 4, he goeth before them. He goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, there is a verb that is used in agricultural communities to speak of how one moves a flock of sheep from one place to another. What verb do people usually use? So I've got this flock of sheep, and I'm going to take my sheep, and I'm going to cause them to walk from this place to that place. What's the verb that we use in English? Drive them, right? Have you heard that? I'm going to drive the sheep.
Not in a car.
Does not mean I'm going to put them in a car. What's it mean? Well, they did. Yeah, you go behind them, and you've got your rod, so you're tackling them with a rod. The Palestinian shepherd boys will sometimes take stones and throw them to deflect the sheep. One of my favorite things to watch is the well-trained Scottish sheepdog. It's another way to drive sheep. And again, the sheep don't like the dog. They're afraid it's going to try to bite them. So the dog will go bark at them. And again, the dog is behind the sheep pushing them on. The picture here is that the Lord Jesus does not drive his sheep. He leads them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He doesn't have to shout at us from behind. He doesn't have to hit us with his stick. He doesn't have to throw stones at us. He doesn't send dogs to bite at us as long as we hear his voice. He goes before us. He never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done. He leads the way. He has showed us everything that he wants us to do. Our job is to be like Jesus Christ. That's all that's required of us. Be like him. And follow him, for we know the sound of his voice. Now, the psalmist said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And sometimes we aren't as attuned to the voice of the shepherd as we need to be. And you can be sure that when it's necessary to cast us out, he will cast us out. You see, right here in this verse, we have two modes of his dealing with us, don't we? We have the forcible mode when we're not being as responsive as we should, and he casts them out. But then we have the gentle mode of going before us, showing us by example, which is all that's necessary as long as we are attentive to his voice. And again, the point here is that we recognize his voice. Verse 5, "A stranger will they not follow, for they know not the voice of strangers." There's a twofold thing going on here. We saw back in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. His sheep know his voice. They don't yield to the voice of strangers. They won't follow after false teachers or false leaders. They recognize him, and they can distinguish his voice from the voice of false teachers. You know, sometimes in speaking to people about the Lord, they want to get elaborate proofs as to why should I believe the Lord and not somebody else. That's really beside the point. If someone is the Lord's sheep, they will hear his voice, they'll recognize his voice, they'll follow him. And when they hear what false teachers say, they'll see through it. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to see through the lies of false teachers. All you have to be is a sheep of the true shepherd. The Holy Spirit will guide you to him and guide you away from others. If you're like the Bereans, listen with all readiness to what is said, and then search the Scriptures under the direction of the Holy Spirit whether those things are so. And you don't have to be afraid about wandering off in the weeds. Or you may find something that sounds interesting and you investigate it for a while, but you'll recognize it because you will not hear the voice of strangers. If you are God's own, you will hear his voice and you won't hear the voice of strangers. How do you know it's the Lord speaking to you? How do you know when it's your mother speaking to you? No one ever has to prove it's your mother's voice. You know it. Obviously, you're going to know the Lord's voice better the more time you spend with him. If you're like these sheep out in the wilderness with the shepherd all day long, you're going to know his voice. You spend time with the Lord, you spend time in his word, you will know his voice. It will have the ring of truth to you. So there's the picture that the Lord has given. He has come. He is the good shepherd. He's going to bring his people out of the mixed fold and bring them to a good fold. He is the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 34. He is the fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 23. And he will cast his people out, if necessary, to get them out of the mixtures into which they've become involved. He'll do it primarily by means of his voice. His sheep know his voice. They do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them." Now, the "them" here is the group standing around him, which includes Pharisees. Chapter 9, verse 40. "This parable spake Jesus unto them." The Lord gave a lot of parables. But this Greek word is not the word that is translated elsewhere in the New Testament as a parable. This word is the word used in Proverbs 1:1, Proverbs of Solomon. It overlaps a lot with the idea of a parable. Both a parable and a proverb tend to compare things. They use illustrations to make a point. But a proverb has an additional feature to it, and that is proverbs tend to be a little bit hidden and esoteric. It's not always obvious what they're talking about. And that's borne out in the response here. The Lord has given them a puzzle, if you will, a verbal puzzle. And they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You can contrast that with Luke 20, verse 19, where the Lord told a parable, And the verse says they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. The Lord could tell stories that put his finger on the sin of the Pharisees, and they knew he was talking about them. He could do that. But here, he speaks this parable, and they perceive not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, that's an interesting observation to make. Because the Lord has just said that recognition of his voice does what? It identifies you as his sheep. Here the Pharisees didn't hear his voice. They didn't understand what he was saying. And by their ignorance, by their lack of response, they are showing that they are not his sheep. Go down to verse 26. You believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. And we'll say more about that verse when we get down to it. But notice the order. He doesn't say, you are not my sheep because you don't believe. He says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. First, we become God's sheep. We are his sheep. We're his chosen flock. And then we enter into belief because as his sheep, we hear the voice of the shepherd. Well, the Lord, in the face of their ignorance and in a lack of understanding, is going to offer an interpretation. And that's in verses 7 through 16. But there is a subtle shift now. No longer are we dealing with a mixed fold with multiple flocks and a hired porter. Now we are dealing with only one flock, one fold, one shepherd. He identifies himself with two key features of the previous story. He has spoken of the porter who guards the doorway of the flock at night, of the fold, and he has spoken of the shepherd. And here he's going to say, I am the door, verse 7, verse 9, I am the door. And then in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, repeated again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Now, he's not trying to be confusing here. He's not saying by a door that he's a piece of wood 3 feet wide and 5 feet high that hangs on hinges. By saying, I am the door, what he means is, I personally am going to sleep across the doorway. The shepherd himself is going to guard this fold. We're not going to have any hireling that comes in to take care of these sheep. There's not going to be a separate porter. I'm going to be the door. Notice the title of this door in verse 7. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door that belongs to the sheep. In verse 2, he spoke of, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But the one who closed the doorway, the porter, didn't belong to the sheep. He wasn't the sheep's porter. But the Lord is saying, I am the door of the sheep. Notice the difference. The door in verse 2 served to exclude or admit the shepherds. He had no authority to let the sheep in and out. He had to keep the sheep in. But this is the door of the sheep. The Lord is the one who leads them in and out of the fold so that they can find pasture. That door was controlled by a hired porter. This one is controlled by the shepherd who loves the sheep himself. He is himself the door. That door pertained to all the different flocks that were gathered within the fold for the night. This one specifically belongs to the Lord's sheep, the ones whose shepherd he is. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What about Moses? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What about David? They were shepherds of God's people. What about the Old Testament prophets? Well, there are a number of ways that you can resolve this question, but the one that I prefer observes the tense of the verb, are thieves and robbers. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. I think what he's speaking of is the huge explosion of messianic claims in the first century. people knew that something was about to happen. And you could figure it out from Daniel, because Daniel said there are 77s determined upon your people. And you could add up the time from the things that Daniel was describing. You could say, you know how... Yeah. Which, yeah, you ought to be able to figure out about when this was going to happen. So there were lots of messianic claimants coming around. I think that's what the Lord is speaking about here. All that claim to be the door, all that claim to be the shepherd, everyone who claims to be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23, everyone whoever claimed to be the legitimate door and the legitimate shepherd is a thief. He's a robber. We saw the thieves and the robbers back in verse 1. They come to steal. They come to destroy. But the sheep did not hear them. The sheep didn't respond to the false prophets. Again, because the sheep hear his voice and recognize his voice. Well, that's as far as we have time to go today. Next week we'll pick up with the Lord's further interpretation of this parable, this proverb. But the point that I want you to carry away with you now is that it is this remarkable self-identification of the sheep and the shepherd based on his voice. This is a remarkable thing. We know we are his sheep because we hear his voice and we respond to it. And he recognizes us on that basis. It's such a gentle thing. He calls. And we come because we hear his voice. It's something that God has placed in our hearts, something that God has enabled us to do. And that's what leads us to the blessings that we enjoy. Cultivate very carefully the voice of the shepherd, brothers and sisters. Watch out for spiritual earwax. Spend time with him so you know his voice, you recognize his voice, and you follow him so that he can lead you and not have to cast you out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how gracious you are to provide us with such a loving and tender shepherd. We thank you for him. We thank you that you've enabled us to hear his voice, Lord. And we pray that you'd help us to follow him faithfully and to stay close at his heels. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close with another hymn of the shepherd, number 303. It's actually drawn from the Song of Solomon, the picture there of the king as the shepherd of his people. Let's stand and sing this together as our closing hymn. Number 303. I hear the sweet sound of thy voice.